What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 302, and it is our first podcast of 2022. And with me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. What's going on, Bob?
I don't know, man. It's the new year.
How was your new year?
Did you stay up? It was very boring.
No, I did not stay up. Actually, you know what? I did. I stayed up and I was playing Apex Legends until about 1 a.m. So, yeah. Everybody else was already asleep. So I was like, I'll just go downstairs and play some games. So,
yeah, there you go. Does it feel different to be in a new year?
Not yet. No. Other than I keep forgetting what day it is. But that was a whole other, like, I was off of work for a while. And then you, like, your weekends blend into your week. And you're like, I don't even know what day it is or anything. So that's just adjusting back to that. But,
you know. Yeah, I kind of took a couple of days off, which is usually very rare for me. So it was kind of weird. It was nice. It was nice to relax, enjoy the new year, kind of just get back on track to start the new year off right. So welcome everybody to the podcast. If you are watching and you want to follow along with us, we do have our full show notes page, which will have everything that we're talking about this week. Lots going on. Of course, typically we're in Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, but this year, obviously, for one, most of it was canceled, and then COVID restrictions and everything like that, we were not there. But I think, I mean, so many big name companies pulled out, but there's still, all of these companies had products that were ready to be launched or announced. So we have so much stuff to talk about when it comes to that. But first, we'll talk about a laptop that I've had for a few months now, and I finally got around to reviewing it. It's the Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Carbon. This is it's generation 9, so ninth generation of this laptop. In the chat, we have Old Man. Good to see you here, and Happy New Year. Yeah. Good to see you here. Was he here last week? I don't remember.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah. Seeing him. Well, it's good to see you in the chat, Old Man. So this is the ninth generation of the Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Carbon. Of course, everybody knows ThinkPads, or at least you should, pretty much the standard when it comes to the business laptop, I would say. I think a lot of businesses, this is kind of what you get issued, is some type of ThinkPad. The X1 Carbon is basically known for its chassis. It's made of carbon fiber. It's a carbon fiber and magnesium blend, which makes the laptop really light, but also, you know, it's going to be able to take those drops. It's going to get through a lot of stuff. Let's just put it that way. Actually, ThinkPads in general go through this massive testing, military grade testing as far as dropping and water resistance, as well as, dust resistance, like all this kind of stuff. So you know this is going to be a laptop where if you accidentally drop it or bump into it or something, it's not going to break. ThinkPads are known for that. So we're on generation 9 of the X1 Carbon. Just to go through the configuration that we were sent, it has an Intel Core i7 1165G7, 16 gigabytes of memory, 2 8-gig DIMMs, which are soldered onto the motherboard, so you can't really upgrade the memory.
Yeah, that kind of stinks.
512 gigabytes NVMe SSD, of course, built-in Intel Iris Xe graphics. This has a 14-inch display, which I really like. I'll show you guys the display. The cool thing about display is there are a couple different display options. We were sent the HD version, which is not 1920 by 1080, but 1920 by 1200. So you get a little bit more space. I kind of like that form factor. It's a 16 by 10 as opposed to a 16 by 9. Just gives you a little bit more space. So if you do get the lower option for the screen, you still get a more than enough room, I would say, to work with. The display is an IPS display as well, 400 nits brightness, not the brightest display, but I felt it was decently bright for kind of what you're going to need it for. Now, the laptop itself is incredibly thin and incredibly light. just under 2.5 pounds. So 2.49 pounds. It's the lightest laptop that I've ever used, like that I've ever personally reviewed. Most of them are in the 3 to 5 pound range, yep, depending. This is incredibly thin, incredibly light. It is just, it just doesn't feel like you're adding anything to whatever bag you're throwing it into or whatever. I took this on a trip across the country, and I threw this in my camera bag, which was loaded with camera gear, my drone. It didn't feel like I was adding much more to it, which is pretty cool. It does come with a very small power adapter as well, 65 watt power adapter, which you can see right here. Very, very small. Doesn't take up a lot of space either. And the really cool thing about that is that it supports rapid charge. So within an hour of charging, you can go from 0 to 80% charge in the laptop, which is great. So if you are traveling, you know, most layovers are typically like an hour. So you can basically get almost up to full charge within that time being at that layover or whatever. Pretty awesome. Again, this is more of a business laptop, so I think that definitely is a good thing there. As far as ports and connections, on one side here, we have two Thunderbolt 4 ports. One doubles, of course, as your power, but of course you can connect like a dongle to this with external power and get use of the ports. One USB 3.2 Gen 1, that's 5 gigabits per second, not 10. And then an HDMI out. And then on the opposite side, we have just a second USB 3.2 Gen 1. And then a combo headset, 3.5 millimeter headset, and your Kensington lock port on that side. Yeah, just super thin and light. They use a new hinge on this. It's a single hinge, as you can see right here, and it works really well. It doesn't wobble, so there's no wobble in the screen. So if you are a person who is going to be using this sitting on your lap, it's not going to wobble around. Like the screen's
that's the worst wobble when you're like typing and the thing's like shaking around a lot and loose. Yeah, loose hinge is horrible.
So you're not going to get that at all. The keyboard, if you've used a ThinkPad before, you know that, at least in my opinion, the ThinkPad keyboard is the best keyboard you're going to get on a laptop. It just is. It's just that good. It feels that good. You do have the track point. Some people hate it. Some people love it, but it's there. You have a decent size touchpad that does have dedicated left and right buttons, but you can also press down on the trackpad itself. It is made of glass. It feels very good. You have a power button, small power button right here, but it also doubles as a fingerprint reader, which is really cool. So this gives you that. And what's really nice about this laptop is that it has a dedicated TPM module. If you don't know what that is, basically when you do your fingerprint or anything, all of that data typically would be stored on the chip itself or on, you know, it wouldn't have its own dedicated chip. Here you have your own dedicated TPM chip that stores all of your encryption keys and everything like that. So that's one really cool thing about this laptop. But yeah, I absolutely love this laptop. Like I said, I've been using it for a couple months. It's powerful enough. Like I edited 4K video on it. I did all of my daily tasks with Think Computers as far as writing reviews, editing photos, you know, word processing, Excel, like all that kind of stuff I was easily able to do on this laptop, which I liked. We have all the stuff for the display. It is 400 nits. We actually, at its highest level, we measured 456 nits, which is pretty nice. The keyboard does light up. The only thing I didn't like about it, and you can see this horrible picture of me, but the webcam is a 720p webcam as opposed to at least a 1080p webcam would have been a little bit better, and the webcam quality is not that great. I think for a business laptop where most business is getting done remotely, I think having a 1080p webcam would have been much better than 720p. This also has four different microphones on it for taking calls. We have an audio sample of what you would sound like on a Zoom call. If you guys want to go ahead and listen to that, we ran all of our benchmarks and all of that kind of fun stuff as well. If you guys want to check that out. But I really, like I said, I really like this laptop. I think that it's the perfect laptop that's powerful enough to just, it doesn't, it feels like it shouldn't be as powerful as it is, but it is that power just because it's so thin and light. Again, I've never reviewed something this thin that can do everything that I want. For me, the main things that I want to do is be able to edit video, 4K video, and I want to be able to have like 7 or 8 tabs open in Chrome, you know, and just be doing my daily tasks. And this does it. And it's, again, super light, and the rapid charge definitely will come in handy. The security features, if you need them, will definitely come in handy. The only thing that I didn't like is the USB ports, for some reason, are USB 3.2 Gen 1 instead of Gen 2.
The platform, on the Type-A ports.
Yeah, so the platform supports Gen 2, and you would basically double your speed. So if you connected an external SSD, it would only run at 500 megabytes per second instead of 1,000. So that's kind of...
Yeah, you get used to like having those fast ports, Type-C ports, and then you almost expect, well, you know, if it's got that, these Type-A ports must be, you know, 3.2 Gen 2. They're not. That's
nice. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that, you know, the Thunderbolt 4 ports will run at USB 3.2 Gen 2 speeds. So you do get that there. But it just would have been nice for those to be a little bit faster. But beyond that, it's a really great laptop. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. There are a bunch of different configurations. You can get it with a 4K display. You can get it with a touchscreen. Ours wasn't touchscreen. You can get the 1080p with a touchscreen. There are a bunch of different processor options. Obviously, you can upgrade your memory or, you know, only go with 8 gigs, different storage options. It starts at $1,475. And you can go all the way up to basically $2,400 with like the most maxed out configuration. And you can do all the configuration on Lenovo's website. Of course, you can buy it on Amazon and pre-configured and things like that as well. So check out the review. Like I said, I was really impressed with this. And it's, I think we're kind of coming to that point where we have that thin and light that can do everything, right? I think we were held back a lot of the times with storage because in order to edit 4K video, you need that faster storage or like the video will skip and it's not a good editing experience. And I think with the optimizations in the processors for video editing and things like that, as well as the storage, you're getting everything. So like, again, on a thin and light, you can do pretty much anything.
With that 4K video, you've got large file sizes too, right? So like to compensate, sometimes you'd end up with a machine with a spinning disk in it, right? To get the capacity, which isn't great for editing that video. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
With storage.
Yeah. So it's, again, I really like this laptop.
The only thing I would like to see different in it is if you could upgrade the memory. That's like my only drawback on this thing.
Yeah, and I think the max configuration
is 16 gigs.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But again, this is a business laptop. It's not
made. Yeah, it's a thin and light. Yep. No,
I get it. Yeah. So in order to get that thin, and that thin, especially the thin part, is they do have to solder the memory on there. So, you know, you're giving up some things, and I think we've seen that with so many devices. Most of these thin and lights from different companies, the memory is soldered on now. Yeah. So yeah, so like I said, definitely check that review out. Also, we talked about it last week, the best case mods of this past year. So if you guys didn't know, every week, every Friday on the site, we have what's called Case Mod Friday, where we basically feature a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. And the community of awesome case modders and builders is just huge now. So every week we feature one, and then out of all the ones we featured in 2021, I went ahead and picked, I think, 5 of my favorites. And we'll go ahead and go through some of these. The first one, Alex Banks Project Ensis, which is completely custom made. The entire thing is this custom made beast, which I'll bring up here. Some of the pictures. Some of the pictures of this crazy chassis that he built himself out of aluminum, and then these custom light panels, which are all custom lit too.
The front one's a distribution block. Yeah,
this one right here. Yeah. Just so much. And then like the wiring, how he did all the custom wiring is absolutely amazing. The lighting, like I said, is excellent on this. It's just a great showcase build. So this was definitely one of our favorites, like the custom stuff for the graphics card, like everything in this build is absolutely amazing. So definitely check that one out. We have links to all these too. So if you go to the Best Case Mods article, we have links to all of these. The next one is Tim Pele, which we feature a lot. He has some really great builds. This one is called Project Sat, which is themed after a satellite. And he did something really cool that you don't really get to see as much through the photos. But basically, as you can see, the build looks like a satellite, right? It looks crazy like a satellite. Full water cooling build, but these, I guess you would call these wings, or they're kind of meant to be like the solar panels. Mm-hmm. These actually move and kind of go down. You can see that's why he used he didn't use hard tubing, he used soft tubing here, that you can kind of see. I thought that's so cool and so unique, and kind of just pushed the, like when we saw this, I don't know if there is a picture of with them down.
There's the bottom one was, I think one of them was down and one of them was
up. Oh yeah. So you can see how they go down like that, with the software.
Well, and they fold in two places.
Yeah, they do.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. So to be able to kind of come up with that in your head so that the water cooling would still work, and just a really, really cool build. Just awesome. Yeah, so definitely check that one out as well. We also have, I really like this one because I felt this was, we have Snef's Project Glacial. This is done inside the Cougar Blaze, which is a pretty open air kind of design chassis. But the thing that I really liked about it was that the way that he did this build, it looks like it should be, like, it looks like it was made to be like this. Like this is a custom distro plate that he made for here and all that, but it just looks like it fits, like he made it so it fits into the parts of the case here.
Chassis, yeah.
Yeah. It's just so well done. The colors are excellent on it. The water cooling is excellent. You have the custom channel, the custom mid plate channel, which I think is really cool. You don't see that as much these days, so that was really cool to see. Just perfect, like everything about this build I like there's not something that I don't like. That's the backside that you can see right there. It's just
so clean.
Yeah, it's just such a clean build, like so clean. And again, the colors go well with kind of the white and silver with the chrome hard tubing and all of that. It just goes together so well. So yeah, check that one out as well. And then we go to Explore Modding's Project Aries. This one, we're talking about rotating stuff. This one was really cool for the fact that the actual internals rotate. So let me find, we have the video, which we'll bring up here. That the inside of it, you guys can see that the inside rotates. That is just crazy.
And it's water cooled.
Yeah, and it's water
cooled. You've got to have some swiveling fittings, most likely, right? Or some way to keep that liquid flowing through there. But
it's just pretty crazy. And the actual build itself, if we look at some of the photos, is really cool. This is the one that had these are pumps, right? Or like the
They can be. Those are those Bits Power pieces. I think the pump's down at the bottom, actually.
Okay, yeah, you can see right there. Yeah, but these are like the reservoirs. Yeah, we've seen these in a couple different builds. But I think the use of them here was really cool. And yeah, just the fact that, again, the whole centerpiece rotates. You can see where the water cooling goes in right there, kind of. Yeah. So that's just really, really cool to see there as well. And our last one is, let's see, the last one is AK Mod. AK Mod has done excellent mods over the years. This is his Mecha 5000X, which is done inside the Corsair IQ 5000X. This, I really like this one because it looks nothing like the case. So this is done inside of a case. It's done inside the Corsair IQ 5000.
Inside and outside, but yeah.
Yeah, but it looks nothing like the case. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it looks like something out of a movie, with the custom legs and all of that. And I really like how he has the reservoirs back here. That's just so cool. Yeah, it's just pretty awesome. So...
yeah, those feet, and I like the details with the just little screws and bolts, and like everything looks like it's got a function, right? None of it just looks like it's put there for the heck of it. It all looks like it would be functional, and not just thrown on. Yeah, and the mix of the tubing types, right? You've got some clear hard tubing inside coming off the CPU, but then you've got some soft tubing with the black. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, so. Yeah, just like I said, I just thought this one was so cool that, again, it's done inside that case. But, I mean, you can barely tell that it's the case. So really cool stuff. So definitely check all of these out. Like I said, we have the Best Case Mods article, and then you can go through, and then we have links to each one. So if you guys want to go through, and, of course, we have our full Case Mod Friday section. If you guys want to check out any other builds that we featured over the past year, you can definitely go ahead and do that. And we have a new contest going on and some awesome prizes for this one as well. So we teamed up with our friends over at Thermaltake, and we're doing a New Year's giveaway. So we have three cases that we're giving away. So we're giving away their Tower 100 Black, the AH200, the pink version. That's that one that kind of looks like a cockpit of like a helicopter. It's pretty crazy looking. And then we have the Divider 300 TG ARGB. All three of these cases, we're running this for basically like a month. Just like all of our contests, we run this one right on Gleam. So just get your entry in. A bunch of different ways to enter. You can have multiple entries. Super simple to do. So go ahead and get your entry in on that. And it's time for CES stuff. It's so interesting this year. I don't know if it's because people just know that they can't get things, but I was like looking at the live stream numbers from like the NVIDIA press conference and the AMD press conference. It's like half of what it was last year.
Wow.
You know, or half of what it was for like their announcements.
Yeah, it's just tough to get excited like about gear that you're just not sure you're even going to be able to get your hands on when it does officially launch. So I can see that cutting down those numbers for sure.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. Again, as I said, I think that with CES, all of these companies had products to release or they planned on releasing before, you know, all the stuff that's closing things down. And, you know, a lot of companies decided to pull out. So, the first thing is the RTX 3090 Ti was shown, and we have the official specifications for it. It is real. It is coming. So it is going to feature the GA102 with 10,752 CUDA cores, still the 24 gigabytes of GDDR6X. It is going to be clocked at a faster 21 gigabits per second. So about 7.7% faster than the current RTX 3090. They didn't say when it was going to be available. They said more information later this month. We have heard the rumors of what, January 27th as the release date. Yep. The biggest thing I see with this card is, what's the point?
What's that?
7.7% faster.
So, I was thinking that was pretty good. And it's decent. It's not crazy though. I mean, you're right. Like if you're,
we already
if
have
you're,
a 30
if you're 90. Averaging, yeah, and if you were averaging 100 frames per second, this is getting you 107, 108. Yeah, maybe it doesn't. I mean, you might get some additional performance or feelings out of that faster memory, right?
But okay, here's the thing. So like a 3090 is already hard enough to come by.
Oh, sure.
So a 3090 Ti is also going to be very hard to come by, and it's going to be more expensive. It's like, I just don't see the point of this card. But again, they want to say they have the fastest card and blah blah blah.
Right. I mean, I think we kind of talked about this last week with, yeah, what's the point, you know? But if you don't do it, then I don't know. I you're kind of expected to, I guess. I personally couldn't care less, you know, if they would have just kept the 3090 and worked on getting more 3080s and 3070s into the hands of people. If there's a way to, you know, to do that as opposed to this. But I mean, you got to show off every now and then, which they are going to do with every launch. So.
Yeah. And then he said, Best Buy had some founders, or Old Man said Best Buy had some founders editions on sale today. They sold out almost immediately. Yeah. It's good to see we're seeing a little bit more as far as availability of graphics cards, but yeah. Yeah, like I guess think it's just hard to get excited because it's not the next thing, or it's not the next generation as far as like the architecture. So it's like, because remember when we saw 3000 series, it was super exciting because we were getting this nice leap in performance. Prices were, you know, back to normal at that time, and that was kind of more exciting. It's kind of just hard to get excited about certain cards. But NVIDIA also announced an RTX 3050. So RTX 3050, which appears to be add-in board partner only. So you can see all the cards here.
So no founders.
So this is going to be based on the GA106. With 2,560 CUDA cores, 8 gigabytes of GDDR6, 14 gigabit memory speeds there. Available January 27th. Suggested retail price of $249. So suggested. And you can see all the partner cards here. This is what, your 1080p card, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
And the thing that's nice about it is an RTX, so you are going to get RT cores and Tensor cores, yeah. So you can do DLSS if you wanted to, and this kind of shows, you know, this shows performance over kind of like it's old. They're basically comparing it to like a 1650, which is kind of like that, sort of in that price range. You know, how much better it is in certain titles, and then if you go ahead and turn on, you know, ray tracing plus DLSS, you can see a lot more here. So yeah, I don't know.
On if are they really going to sell at $250. No. Like there might be some bare bones cards, right? With like the bare minimum of cooling and fans that hit $250, but they're gonna sell out anyways.
Yeah. So we have two new cards from NVIDIA announced at CES, and we have a new card from AMD. So we talked about the leaks of this last week, and it is official now. AMD officially announced the Radeon RX 6500 XT. It's the first 6-nanometer GPU from AMD, based off the Navi 24, 1024 stream processors, 4 gigabytes of GDDR6 running across, running at 18 gigabit per second. It's going to retail for $199. suggested. Again, retail available January 19th. They also announced the RX 6400, which is just for OEMs.
Okay.
So yeah, this is the same RX 580 that we've had for $200 for
forever. I hate seeing a 4 gig card in 2022.
Yeah.
Like, I know it can still serve a purpose, right? Like, and there's a lot of games that'll play just fine with 4 gigs of memory. I just hate seeing that on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's... throw a little more GDDR5 on there, right? Like, switch it, you know, lower that spec, give them a little more memory. I don't know. It just seems low, but
it just seemed like that. But this is like,
if you're buying this card, you're probably not trying to play it, you know, super high. You're hopefully you have your expectations set at what this card can do. So I guess this is how I feel about it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel as well. So those were the big graphics card announcements at CES. Kind of what we did expect, pretty much what we expected on both sides. And yeah, you have your 1080p cards from both AMD and NVIDIA, and then you have your crazy card that nobody should needs from NVIDIA that nobody's really excited about either, which is kind of funny. So yeah, can you mute your mic, because we're getting that feedback again. I don't know why we're getting the feedback. At least I'm getting it. I don't know if you guys in the live stream are getting it, but I was getting some feedback from Ryan's mic for some reason. I don't know why. But in any case, let's move on to CPU stuff. Oh, actually, wait, we have one more GPU thing, which is actually pretty cool. So Alienware showed off their new Polaris, which is an eGPU solution. It looks really cool. It features built-in water cooling. It supports graphics cards up to 16 inches, which is like the biggest graphics cards, like the longest graphics cards you can get. It looks pretty cool, in my opinion, as an eGPU that you, of course, would team with a laptop, uses Thunderbolt 4. It's pretty cool. It's huge. That's the thing.
It looks so much bigger than most eGPUs that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, it's almost having like a little mini PC.
Yes, yeah.
I don't think it would be such a big, like, again, if you're teaming this with a laptop and this is all that's sitting on your desk, I'm not against it, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's fine. Like, that piece sits there on your desk all the time, right? And then you pick up your laptop and go do what you need, and then come home, plug this thing in, and you're, you know, better performance out of your system. So it's just a little bigger than I would think. And you can't put anything on top of it because it's rounded, right? You've got some of those limitations. Not that most people are probably going to put anything on top of it, but
yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, it has a power supply built in, 330 watt AC adapter, and then it has built in water cooling, which they don't show in.
Where's that at? Yeah, it built in. Like, where?
Yeah, I don't know. That was never shown. And I looked at the other articles that I saw on this, and that was not shown either. But I think it's like a 240. That's,
or is it like ambient cooling for the environment? You know, like, are they somehow just like cooling the case itself with water cooling, so you can put in whatever card you want? Because with that, in that image where they've got the card pulled out, it's like a Founders Edition card, right? But you scroll down, and is that a Founders Edition? I mean, who knows what's in there? I don't remember what the lighting is on the Founders card, but you can kind of see some in the image above there, some lighting on the card.
I don't think that's a Founders Edition card.
Yeah, I don't know. So you're probably not putting the liquid cooling on the card itself, so maybe they're using some form of liquid cooling to keep the enclosure cool, which therefore then helps keep the card cooler. I don't know.
It's pretty interesting. Neuroflame in the chat said that external GPU is the size of a mini ITX PC. Yeah, that's kind of thing. Like, I think they've gone a little overboard. I know that you want to be able to support like the highest end graphics cards are usually the biggest ones, right? The longest ones. We reviewed the
MSI Lightning.
Yeah, the Lightning cards, any of that kind of stuff, like the biggest cards. But at the same time, it takes up a lot of space. And I think with the eGPU, the whole idea is getting the power, but still keeping it decently small, right? I think it looks cool. I think it would look cool on your desk. And again, it's the perfect solution if you are like a hardcore gamer and you have, say, like they show it, you know, a laptop that has a 4K screen or even a 1440p screen, and you want to be able to push those frame rates on that screen, you need an eGPU, especially in certain titles. So, or if you're hooking your laptop up to a bigger monitor or something like that, I like it. It is just decently big. So we'll see what this is. Just it's a concept right now. We'll see kind of what the final product. I assume it's going to look very similar.
These things. I always wonder how, like, who gets these, but they must be popular enough because we've continued to see companies come out with designs for eGPUs, right? I don't know anybody that has one, but they must be popular enough to continue designing.
I think we're desktop people, right? We want to build our PC, but there's so many people that game that like the idea of a laptop because they can take it with them. They can take it to different rooms. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a different experience for them. But again, they're gamers, so they want to be able to play at high frame rates or, you know, pushing an external display, like whatever it may be. This just might be an easier solution. Right. For a lot of people that, you know, don't want to build their own PC per se. So that is the Polaris. And again, we'll keep you updated on kind of what the final revision of that will be. CPU time. And there's some awesome CPU stuff shown at CES. The first one is that AMD announces a new Ryzen 5000 series processor. So it's kind of interesting. So they announced a Ryzen 7 5800X 3D. And the 3D stands for 3D Vertical Cache. So basically, and if you guys remember from Ryzen 3000 series to Ryzen 5000 series, there was a massive jump in gaming performance. The reason for that massive jump is because they added more cache. You would see if you would just, in our reviews of the 5000 series, you saw if you just slotted in on the exact same system, same specs, 3000 series to 5000 series, you'd see a big jump in gaming performance. Marco's in the chat. Good to see you, Marco. I don't think Marco's at CES either. I think he's working from home as well. But good to see you in here. So what they've done here is use this new 3D vertical cache stacking technology, and they've added 64 megabytes on top of the CPU core die. So basically, you're getting 96 megabytes of last level cache, which is going to help with gaming performance. And kind of this totally non-technical way of saying it, it's going to give you better gaming performance. And this is basically AMD saying, hey, we have the fastest gaming processor now. They were beat out by Intel's Alder Lake Core i9-12900K. And this is kind of like this is kind of like them saying, hey, we have the fastest gaming processor. Interestingly enough, it actually runs slightly slower than the original Ryzen 7 5800X. Base clock of 3.4 gigahertz. It boosts up to 4.5 gigahertz. Of course, it's 18 core, 16 thread. You can kind of see the performance boost that you do get. And they're actually comparing it to their 5900X. A little bit, like I said, these are all in games, what the performance you would get. It's kind of just like a little bit of a holdover, I would say. It's expected to launch this spring. No word yet on pricing. But if you're, and AMD did say this in their presentation, is like, this is a process you're getting if you're strictly a gamer. This is basically made to give you the best gaming performance possible that they can give you. Old Man said, would this count as a refresh? I wouldn't say, because it's technically this. Well, I guess it's not technically the same tech because it has the cache on the chip. But
I mean, I'd call it a refresh.
Is it though? It's unclear if they're going to be doing this across the board, right? Or if this is
a specialty type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Seems to me that this is a specialty type thing, but I could be wrong. I don't know. Keeps the same TDP. It also keeps the same Z height. So if you know you're adding that cache on top, it keeps the same Z height, so you won't have to get like a new CPU cooler for this or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't know that other processors were coming out, right, and I was building something now, like this is what I would go for.
Yeah, I mean, for gaming, I think. You know, and that's kind of the top end processor in an Intel and AMD has always, oh, this is the best gaming processor out there. That's their tagline.
That's always the title they want to be able to put on their latest products, is like best gaming, right? And they go back and forth with it.
Yeah. So I think that's, again, AMD lost that top gaming clout or whatever you want to call it, and I guess they feel like they're going to get it back with this. On the other hand, Intel did show off a new processor as well. They showed off an Core i9-12900KS, where the S stands for special edition, I guess. More or less, I believe these are just super highly binned Core i9-12900Ks, the highest bin ones that you can get. This will boost up to 5.5 gigahertz. That's on one core. And it will all core boost to 5.2 gigahertz. They did show it off. It did have an all core boost to 5.2. I don't think during the demo that it hit 5.5 on the one core, but it's supposed to. And I guess this is kind of their... You know, this might be, I guess, is their response to AMD. The Intel presentation was like 2 hours after the AMD one. But yeah, since, you know, Silicon Lottery shut down, so you can't buy highly binned CPUs anymore unless you're buying a bunch and then figuring out which ones, you know, are the best. I guess this would be a way to get the highest binned Intel processor. Now, interesting that they did say that it's going to be, the chip is going to be shipping to OEMs this quarter. So we don't know if you can actually just buy the processor or if the processor is going to be just going to OEMs. So like a CyberPower would get it, and you know, and like it would be in like a special edition HP Omen, it would be in a special edition Alienware. Like we don't know what. Like if you're going to go to the store and buy this yourself,
I'd hate to not see it available like that, unless it's, you know, they have a small enough yield of these that they're like, well, we're going to only supply them to OEMs then, right? That would be my only reason for limitation, I would think.
Yeah. So wonder how many of these they do have. And yeah, but 5.5 gigahertz, even on one core, is pretty
high. Yeah, that's high. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, pretty intense. And then 5.2 on all cores. We don't know what cooling is needed. Maybe there's special cooling that's like, you know.
This thing's going to get hot.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty cool stuff from both Intel and AMD. AMD also did show off Ryzen 7000 series. Ooh, are you excited? Since we're both Ryzen people, yeah. So they showed 5-nanometer Ryzen 7000. If you're asking, like, wait, we were on Ryzen 5000 series, and then we're skipping to 7000. We also went from 3000 to 5000. Mm-hmm. Basically, the Ryzen 6000 series, which they did announce, is for mobile. So mobile parts. So the Ryzen 7000 series is for desktop. So that's why we're kind of skipping.
I mean, I'm excited for Ryzen 7000, but I'm not as excited as I thought I would be after this presentation. But that's only because we didn't really hear a whole lot.
Yeah, they just kind of showed it. They showed a demo playing Halo Infinite with a Ryzen 7000 chip hitting 5 gigahertz on all the cores during the test. We did get to see, you know, the new look of the processor with a new integrated heat spreader, which
I feel like this thing's just asking for trouble with thermal paste. You know what I mean?
Because
you know how it is, like even on a thermal spreader that goes like all the way to the edges, when you're cleaning it off or whatever, some of it like falls down over the side, and then it's on the PC board. With this, you're like, I'm looking at this thing going, oh, this is gonna be a mess to clean
up. So the reason we do have a new integrated heat spreader is because AMD is moving from pin grid array, so PGA, they're moving to LAN grid array, LGA. It's the same type of socket that Intel uses on their processors. And, you know, this is the first real official look at the socket. It's going to be LGA 1718. Of course, we'll know it as the AM5 socket. It does support PCI Express Gen 5 or PCI Express 5.0, as well as DDR5. So the platform will be on par with Intel as far as DDR5 and Gen 5 PCI Express.
I think the most important piece of text on this screen is compatible with AMD's socket AM4 coolers. So your coolers that you have now, you don't have to get a new cooler for this. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Gen 5 and DDR5 are important as well, but you know how we are with like compatibility. Just like
I think
AM4 has been the whole time, right? You've had compatibility for the longest time, and keeping that cooler compatible with this new offering is awesome.
I think you're going to have to get in a kit.
I don't care if you have to get a kit. You can keep the cooler and get an adapter kit. That's fine.
Yeah. I think the adapter kit is because I mean,
that's kind of like wrong. Like on the Crosshair, what was it? The Crosshair 6, the original board for Zen had mounting brackets for AM3 and AM4. It had like holes in the board to support previous. So I can see them doing something similar. Yeah, an adapter of some sort. But the fact that your cooler itself will work sounds good to me.
Yeah, so I assume it's going to have the same clips, which is nice because I prefer the clips on the AMD, their stock coolers and a lot of other ones, over the Intel stock coolers that have those stupid plastic pins that I bend or that are easily break those. So good to see. So we'll keep you updated on that. They did say Ryzen 7000 series will launch later this year. So it's kind of interesting that we're going to have new Ryzen processors and that Ryzen 5800X3D in the same year.
Yeah, the X3D card or chip feels very close to this launch. Feels late, but maybe they've got a bunch of wafers sitting around they need to get rid of.
Yeah, so not exactly sure. We have You Pick Your Nose Bra in the chat. Keep in the chat. He said 3D V-cache is good only if it's utilized. That was a big part of Intel's previous products. And then he said he's still running his Thermalright Silver Arrow SBE Extreme Cooler on his 5600X. Awesome. And then Old Man says, better not use liquid metal with a Ryzen 7000 CPU.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll be all over the place. I'm excited. I'm excited. I always get excited for new platform launches. But I've been mostly like Ryzen 5000 series was really exciting. Z690 is definitely exciting as well. I'm kind of like a catch up for Intel. And now we're going to see, you know, Ryzen 7000 series, new motherboard. Like I'm always excited for that type of stuff. So definitely good to see that. Monitors.
Some crazy Samsung monitors I've seen today.
There's been a lot. And again, everything with CES, guys, like we're only picking certain things that we wanted to talk about, but there's so many monitors being announced at CES. But we picked two from Samsung because I think they're pretty interesting. The first one is the Odyssey Neo G8, being the world's first 4K 240 hertz monitor. Man, remember when like 240 hertz was like a big thing?
Nice for 1080p monitor, yeah.
Yeah, and now we're getting it in 4K. Yeah, and this is going to be Quantum Dot's mini LED powered monitor. What's this? Is this 27 inch? 32 inch display. So, I mean, that's going to be a nice 4K monitor. Serious gamers, 240 hertz. We talk about this all the time. People don't think that the refresh rate of the monitor makes a big deal when gaming. And I was kind of skeptical, but the last time we were at CES, right?
Yeah, CES 2020.
Yeah, so CES 2020, we were in the NVIDIA booth, and we did some tests with Counter-Strike Source. And it tracked like how many times you got like killed somebody, and you tested on different monitors. And I think it went from like 60 hertz to 120 to 240. Or no, it went from.
There were a few tests and with multiple, and you know, in that range.
I think it went up to 360 hertz. I think that's what it went. So it was like, highest, yeah. I think it was like 60. It was 60, 240, 360 maybe, or went in like that type of line of testing. And, you definitely do better at higher frame rate, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we both proved that to ourselves in those tests. So having 4K 240 is really that leap, because everybody wants that, you know, that higher resolution. But, you know, if you were a serious gamer, you bought that 1080p 240 hertz display. So yeah, 4K 240. I'm pretty pumped for that. It's good to see that like these hardcore gaming monitors aren't going to be kind of limited to 1080p, but you're going to have to find something that's going to push it as well.
Say that takes a lot of horsepower to run that. You're going to need one of those 3090 Ti's.
That's why that came out.
That's why I'd say, yeah. Pair it up.
You pick your nose. He said he has a 1440p 32 inch curved Dell 165 hertz. He said it's awesome. Yeah, I think again, once you make that leap out of 60 hertz, and again, that's like been a default for so long. Once you get over that 100 hertz range, I think even going 60 to 75, you can kind of tell the difference. But if you go from 60 to 120, well, you know, 165 into the 200s, you can definitely tell a difference, especially in gaming. You can tell a difference. So awesome. And then they also showed off another massive display. 55 inch. This is called their Odyssey Arc. And the cool thing about it is that with the included stand, you can put it in, I guess, if that's what you want to call portrait mode. But by itself, it's a 55 inch 1000 R curve gaming display, 4K. It's also Quantum Dot's mini LED, 16:10 aspect ratio. But the cool thing about it, we can kind of see from these pictures on Twitter here, that they have the stand allows you to put it in this kind of orientation. And I'm kind of showing here this orientation, it would be great for streamers, right? I have different screens here that I'm looking at as I'm streaming. A gamer would have their, you know, their game here. They could have their chat up here, or actually probably be easier if it was down here. They could have all their stream stats kind of up here, all in one central display. Kind of makes it look like a cockpit or something kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this design makes perfect sense. Like, because in my setup, for example, like I've got my regular gaming monitor straight in front of me, and then a 4K monitor above, and it's tipped back or towards me, just like this monitor is when it's in this orientation. So, I mean, it's above me, right? Like its screen bottom is higher than my eye level and then goes, you know, quite a bit up. So this makes perfect sense. It's doing what most people probably do in this setup in one screen, and then has the ability to just, oh, let's go back to widescreen.
Yeah.
And get that widescreen.
And I think they'll have some, Samsung will have some cool software that will allow you to split your screen this way, in portrait mode, in different quadrants and stuff that you can
It'd be awesome if it had some sensing too, to switch, you know, back to landscape flipping those back around, right? Because that's kind of going to be a pain if they don't do something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure Samsung will have something like that. It is pretty interesting. I like that it's all built into, like, the stand. You can see that it supports, you know, all of that. So I think that's really cool. Yeah, this is pretty and interesting.
It has a little, what is the little dial that comes with it?
The dial.
Is that to control some of
I was reading somewhere. I didn't put it in the article. But yeah, the dial, which you can see here, allows you to change certain things on the display as well. I forget specifically. But yeah, how cool. Like, that's pretty cool. I like that we're getting, you know, we've had these big displays, but I like that we're, the reason I have this massive display is to be productive, but you know, like, you want to be able to have things on multiple screens, and we're getting these big displays that the manufacturer, you know, because you can put, I can put this 49-inch display in portrait mode, but I need a like stand, a monitor arm
or arm,
know?
Yeah.
But with this, it comes, you know, the stand has it, and that's pretty badass. No word yet on pricing or availability. It's 55-inch 4K. Expect it to be expensive, I would say. But yeah, pretty cool monitor stuff. There's, like I said, there's so many other monitors being announced at CES. I just saw one on Twitter. MSI has a 360-hertz monitor. It was 2K. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with monitors at CES, and like big format gaming displays. I think Aorus had one. I forget. There's a couple other ones that I saw being announced. So lots of cool stuff there. Also, when it comes to cases, the coolest case thing that I've seen is that CyberPower PC announced this case, or the series of pre-built PCs, but it seems like they're going to sell the case by itself. It's called Kinetic. And basically, it has 18 different panels on the front that will open and close depending on the temperature of your PC and all that kind of cool stuff. We actually have it here. This is the video, but we have it kind of queued up so you guys can watch it. I'll play it, and we'll talk about it here for you guys.
Rather than simply adding more airflow, we wanted a case that dynamically provided the appropriate airflow for this situation in real time. And that's what we've achieved here at CyberPower PC with the Kinetic series. We were deeply inspired by Kinetic architecture, the concept through which buildings are designed to allow parts of the structure to move, not just for design's sake, but with purpose. Designs like the Albahar towers, sunshades, and modern satellites that expand and collapse made us wonder, could this be achieved with computer case? The Kinetic series is by no means a revolution. It's inspired by the hundreds of brilliant designers and architects that came before, who have forged the path towards Kinetic design. We're merely taking the baton and bringing it here to jumpstart another way of thinking about chassis design. This first generation of our Kinetic series is a chassis that features 18 individually controlled vents that open and close according to the system's current internal ambient temperature. When the temperature is high, it contracts to allow in more air. And when the temperatures are low, it expands to reduce not just the airflow, but noise and dust as well. However, the key in this parametric design is that these adjustments are not limited to a simple open and close, but rather the opening is adjusting in real time to every single degree of temperature change. It senses the environment and is constantly contracting and expanding to adapt to the situation with micro adjustments. The future can be such a spectacular time. All those ideas that live only in our imagination are brought to reality. Our Kinetic series is not about maximum airflow, but intelligent airflow.
What'd you think? Oh, wait, you're muted. Oh, you're still muted.
Oh, I know. There you go. Adios. I think it's awesome. When I saw the, you know, like they kind of tease it at the beginning of that video. We didn't show the whole video. They talk a lot. Yeah. Talks a lot more before it. And I'm like, come on, show me. I think it's gonna move. This thing's gotta move. And sure enough, it did. I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. You and I were kind of talking about it, and you were wondering, and I had the same thought of like, well, how loud are these things, and yeah. what's the mechanics to that are. What mechanics are being used, and that'll kind of determine how loud this thing is.
Right? That's the thing is, and you see all of the hinges. So you worry about use over time as far mm-hmm. as like those being like, that's something that can go faulty on anything.
Yeah. Moving parts. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that it's super cool. And it's not just going to be like, oh, it's warm. I'm going to open. Oh, it's not. I'm going to close. Like each one, they're all individually set. And it kind of seems like CyberPower is going to have software that you can kind of just like you would have like a fan curve. You mm-hmm. kind of would have something like that, that would kind of be able to do that. And the cool thing, at least from what I read, is that this system, you can buy the case, and the case is only going to be $249.
That seems pretty affordable for this. Honestly, I thought it was going to be a lot higher.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, old man was saying in the chat that there was another case that had louvers that open and close. Wasn't there an Alienware PC? Maybe it was an Acer that on the top had like these louvers that kind of like, you know, did this kind of thing and would open and close. Yeah,
and then I remember that I had that was the N-Win that kind of moved up and down.
Yeah, the 915 that had the oval shape. Yep.
Yeah. This is cool. I like this because it's intelligent. It's not just an open and close. It's based on temperatures. Very cool. A lot of moving parts. That's something you kind of have to worry about. And as we said, we have no clue how loud every time those open, those contract and then open and close, how loud that actually is going to be. I think it's one of the coolest things I've seen on a PC case in a while. Trying to innovate when it comes to PC case design is something that's kind of hard. And to see something new and something kind of pretty cool. It's only on the front, not on the top of the case. So obviously, I don't believe.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it being helpful on top as well.
Yeah.
And it's one of the more innovative things with cases. I say innovative, like unique things, right? Like that we've seen. I think at CES 2020 is when we saw Corsair putting those LEDs, their tiny LEDs on the glass panels, right? And you couldn't really see the lines. We haven't seen that go anywhere yet. That was pretty unique. This is, to me, pretty on kind of that same level of something different as far as case design goes, whether it's turns out to be functional or really productive. We'll see.
Yeah. And it appeared as if the moving parts are metal, at least the hinges were metal. So we'll see how heavy that would turn out to be. Right. So the Connect series will launch from CyberPower in Q3 of 2022. So pretty cool. I would say for me, one of the coolest things I've seen so far at CES, it's definitely pretty interesting. We'll see how you have to see it in practical use. Right. And we just have to see how loud it is and how practical it is. If you wanted to build a system in this, that's going to sit next to you and be, I guess, opening and closing all day. So I guess kind of just have to see that. Our last piece of news from CES is that Phison announced their first PCI Express 5.0 controller, the E26. So get used to hearing E26. Oops, let's put the thing up. There we go. Get used to hearing E26 because that is going to be the controller that a lot of the first generation PCI Express 5.0 NVMe SSDs will be based on. And basically, it's going to give you sequential read of 12 gigabytes per second, sequential write up to 11 gigabytes per second. 4K random read up to 1500 IOPS, 4K random write up to 2000 or 2000K IOPS. Yeah, man. Yeah,
that's crazy. Those numbers are nuts. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, and they have some just some of their drives, you know, pre-made drives all done up. But every, you know, all the manufacturers that don't use their own controller, like the ADATAs and the Patriots and who else makes SSDs?
Kingston.
All the, yeah, the Kingstons, like they're all going to be using this controller in their new generation of drives. So yeah, so that's definitely really exciting. Just the speed, and it's, it just seems like we're just, I mean, I know Gen 4 has been here, but like it just seems like we're just going past it already.
Yeah, I mean, it's been around since, what, the Ryzen 5000 series. You know, that's kind of what brought it into our realm of use. But yeah, it seems like we're already moving past that.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, so I think this kind of seems that gives us an idea that we've seen some reports of like 15, 16 gigabyte per second drives, but I think this first generation we're going to average around 10 to 12 gigabytes per second on read and write, which again is still massive jump. We're around 7,000 is kind of the highest on Gen 4, so just a nice little bump up again. Just super, super fast drives. So excited to see all the drives that will be based off of this controller. That kind of rounds out our CES news. Now, if you do want to follow everything that we're covering from CES, we didn't put everything in this episode that we posted on the site. But if you do want to follow, you know, follow our CES news, there's just a little tab at the top here that just says CES 2022. You just click in there, and that has kind of everything that, you know, just some, like I said, a lot of stuff that's being announced at CES. And we've been kind of crushing it on articles all this week, and we'll definitely pretty much next week will be another CES episode because there's so much to cover, and it is, I would say it is a little easier to cover it from not being in Vegas. I would say, what do you say? What do you think? You're muted.
Sorry. I went off my tab and then I was,
oh, that's all right.
Couldn't use my mouse all of a sudden. Yeah, I mean, I haven't done any articles or anything, obviously, for CES this year, but you don't have to compete with the walking and the tiredness, and just be that town just drains your energy, yeah. You know, and being up late at night to, you know, go to events and just all the walking in general. So I'm sure it makes it, you know, writing things much easier. You're working in an environment that you work in all the time. Your mm-hmm. workflow is comfortable there instead of us being around that table in the kitchen, like, you know,
typing away
stuff everywhere. Right.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, especially as we get older here, is the, how tired it is. I mean, we're going to meetings all day, and then you come back to the room and it's like, okay, let's write some articles for like an hour, and then we have to go to events and then a party, and then obviously you're consuming alcohol at this party.
And then you're like, well, I gotta go back and write some more still. Yeah
so it is I would say easier to cover from home, but it's not the same as far as like seeing friends and mm-hmm. you know, just the kind of and I mean, it would have been so much nicer to see that CyberPower case.
Oh yeah,
hands-on,
absolutely.
Or like to see some of the other stuff that we covered, like see that those monitors, like hands-on, like to see that mm-hmm. See how they work, and maybe they did have that thing where you turn it and the screens change, like we don't know, like we had much more detail when you're, you know, obviously when you're there to yep. see it. Kind of bummed.
Those are those things that some people, I was reading some other articles about just CES in general, and, you know, some companies dropping or changing up their strategy this year. And people were like, oh, can't we just get rid of CES? It's like stuff that never comes out, or that this, that, and the other. And you're like, no, these are the things that we like, the answers you want to get a lot of times can be obviously gotten there, right? We want to know how loud is that case when it changes. Well, like, I don't know. I'm going to have to email somebody or tweet somebody and ask them or find out from somebody that was there how loud is the thing.
And it's like, if they're like a specific PR person, there's things they sometimes they just won't tell you. But like, if we're seeing it, I'm like, yeah, okay, it's really loud, or it's not really loud, it's silent. Like, right. You know, we don't know. Or like, if, you know, you hear about this product and I'm like, yeah, the demo, it they couldn't get it to work. Like, we've seen things where like they couldn't get it to work. I remember, not to go totally off here, so there was like, this is like maybe like 8 or 9 years ago, there was like this cell phone that was supposed to be like, it's supposed to be like indestructible, like you couldn't break it, it was waterproof, they had it in like a tank of water, and then he's like, yeah, like you can't break it, and he, and like the guy who was giving the demo like threw it off like a table and it just cracked. It was like, and I think it was like when, like, it was like when like MSNBC or one of like a big news station was like doing the thing and like the screen cracked. It was kind of funny.
It was like Elon Musk, you know, talking about the Cybertruck and like, oh, these windows don't break, you know, and they broke two of them right in a row. And you're like, this is weird.
Yeah. But no, CS is always, it's always a great, it's always something I look forward to every year. So I kind of bummed that, 2 years in a row, we're kind of not getting that experience, but at least we have a ton of tech news. Like, if you're looking for what's coming out this year, if you're into just new tech in general, kind of this is the time where companies really show off kind of like what they're working on or just cool projects that might not even become products. It's really cool, and we're going to try to cover as much as we can for you guys. So we'll definitely have a lot more next week on the podcast. Of course, just check on the site. We'll be uploading, you know, writing articles every day, pretty much all day. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. Also, talking about what we have coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at a Gen 4 NVMe SSD from ADATA. It's their XPG Atom 50, which is actually the first DRAM-less Gen 4 NVMe SSD that I've taken a look at. So no cache chip on this. Pretty basic Gen 4 speeds. 5,000 megabytes per second read, 45 megabytes per second write, compatible with PS5, all that kind of stuff. So I'll be taking a look at that. Also, a keyboard that I've been wanting to take a look at, I finally got one, is the Mountain Everest Max. And we talked about this before. This is the one that has like the modular number pad, and it has the screen, kind of like a... what's the thing you have? The
Kind of like a Stream Deck buttons on the top there.
It has like the Stream Deck buttons on the top here. You can move the number pad to each side. It also has this other display with multimedia controls at the top here. I haven't plugged it in yet, but I'll be plugging it in tomorrow and kind of seeing what it's about. It's very well built, though. Aluminum top plate, all that kind of stuff. Cherry. We have the one that Cherry MX Browns. As far as the switches, so pretty cool stuff. We'll be taking a look at next week as well. So that is it. As we come to the end here, we talk about anything cool. You said you had something. You got something new. So what did you want to show us? You didn't even tell me.
It's new to me. It is old though.
Oh geez.
If there was something old computer wise that I was going to get and be excited about, what would it be? Like, what do you think? Just like. Old computer.
Like an old, I don't know.
Oh, is that a Commodore 64, man?
Nice.
I have a CRT, which I don't think works. I plugged it in tonight and it like.
Where did you get that?
I got it in an estate sale.
How much was it?
$100.
That's not bad. Does it work?
I literally got it today. So I haven't even, I tried to turn on the monitor tonight when I got home. I plugged it in. Hit the power and it's just like bzz, you know, like a CRT buzz kind of, but the screen wouldn't come on, so the screen might be bad. I'm not sure on that, but there's some workarounds I can do. So but yeah, I have the Commodore 64.
How heavy is it?
It's not heavy at all. It's not as heavy as it probably looks. I mean, it's I don't know.
How do the keys feel?
You may not be able to hear. You probably can't hear him because of RTX voice.
No, you can hear him. Well, now you can't. if you talk
if I'm talking and doing it at the same time. They don't sound like an awesome, but they're double shot PBT. I already pulled one off with the keycap puller. The stem size is different than a standard like Cherry MX, so they're not compatible with them. But I got that, the monitor, like I said, a floppy disk drive, the power supply, a controller, like a joystick controller, and then like a bunch of floppies with games and stuff on them. So
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
I knew when you said something that you would get, it would be something old, but I was thinking like what that you could like hold up. Cause I'm like, it's not like a big, like, you know, that's pretty cool. I haven't got anything tech wise. We have a bunch of stuff behind me that we'll be reviewing. That's right here. Also some new stuff coming out this month. So definitely stay tuned for that. I did want to tell you guys about a really cool documentary on Netflix. We always talk about stuff, and this isn't like tech related at all, but I thought it was really good. It's called The River Runner. So if you have Netflix, check it out. It's about this guy. He's like does extreme like kayaking in like these insane rivers. It's just really cool. It's just over an hour and 25 minutes. If you're looking for something to watch on Netflix, go ahead and check that out. Looks like we'll be doing some. Are we gaming tonight? You're
yeah, we are.
All right, so we will be over on Twitch. If you guys want to continue to hang out with us, typically Wednesday nights are gaming nights. It says twitch.tv/syncomputers. Go ahead and go on over there. If you are leaving us and not heading over there, we want to thank everybody in the live chat. Mr. Old Man, Marco was in there. We have You Pick Your Nose, Bro, was in there as well. So there's some cool people in the chat this week. Thanks everybody for coming out. And of course, if you listen to the podcast later on audio, or if you watch us later, we definitely appreciate you guys watching as well. And definitely stay tuned next week. As I said, lots more to cover from CES. So we'll be the same time next week again, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. And we will see everybody next week.